Before we begin, a quick message for the grown-ups. If you'd like to support our podcast, enjoy ad-free listening, unlock our complete back catalog of stories, and more, you can join Sleep Tight Premium. Subscribe in just two taps via the link in the show notes. Now, here's a quick word from our sponsors. And now, on to our show. What if your ordinary house cat had an extraordinary secret? Susan thought Tucker was just a regular cat until he introduced her to Cat City, a magical world beneath her house. Now she's caught in an adventure where the stakes couldn't be higher. In The Rat King, the second book in the Adventures of Susan and Tucker series by Patty Larson, Susan's bad dreams turn out to be real. Kidnapped by enemies, it's up to Tucker, stuck in Cat City and facing the Rat King's forces, to rally the cats and save his best friend before it's too late. Packed with mystery, adventure, and heartwarming moments, The Rat King is perfect for readers who love daring heroes and thrilling twists. Find it wherever you buy your books. And don't forget to tune in to The Rat King podcast to experience the story in a whole new way. Follow the link in our show notes to learn more. The Rat King by Patty Larson. Susan wants to make sure that the rats don't hurt Tucker. So she tries to figure out a way to tell them what they want to know without really helping them. Tucker gets taken back to a cell by the rats, and once they leave him, all he can do is try to figure out how to get out. He is still thinking when he hears a sound. The Rat King, Chapter 12. Susan wasn't sure why she struggled to take the Rat King seriously. They were in a very serious predicament indeed, after all, and she should have been terrified. Instead, she found herself fighting off these hideous giggles that burbled deep inside her every time the large rat on the throne, that was really far too big for him, wriggled, which was a lot. In fact, every time he spoke, he made this awkward shuffling motion with his upper body that made his hanging back legs swing. Perhaps if he wasn't attempting to sit like a human on that giant stone chair he'd claimed, instead of on his hunches like a regular rat, she might have been able to suppress her laughter a bit better. But seeing his skinny little legs and bony, clawed back feet dangling like a bad toddler who really needed a talking to had her completely out of sorts. For the briefest moment, she considered marching up the rest of the way to the throne and grasping the very bad rat by the back of the neck. A firm shaking might have set him straight, but Susan wasn't a violent child. And that very thought had her amusement, poorly placed or not, retreating at last. "Tell me what you want me to do," she whispered, forcing her voice into that low tone so he wouldn't hear the final bit of giggles try to make themselves known. The pain in her hand had faded somewhat. The rainbow magic inside her already healed the cut, she realized. But when she glanced over at Tucker, now pinned beneath Julian's weight, the last of her hysterical reaction faded, and now she felt like crying all over again. "Just don't hurt him anymore." "Susan," Tucker's voice choked off as the big silver bangle leaned more weight on his front paws across her friend's throat. "I said don't." she snapped, taking a step forward herself. To her surprise, Julian flinched and backed off, if only a little. He was afraid of her. Well, she had thrown him to the rats not so long ago, so perhaps that fear was well deserved, and though she normally wouldn't want anyone to be afraid because of something she'd done, she had no sympathy for the silver cat, not even a little bit. Enough, the Rat King spoke up, taking her attention again. Your friend will endure no further harm, but only if you do as I tell you. Which no doubt meant somehow getting him and his rats into the city. You can't just go in through the front gate, you know, she said, or the back tunnel either. The access to the surface through the labyrinth beneath Cat City that Kai let them use, that Vinny had defended and closed against them a week ago, would surely be as well guarded as the main one. We have our ways. The king's red eyes flared with red light, his precise speaking slipping enough, his kind characteristic lisp returned. Take him, he said then, one front paw sweeping toward Tucker, and keep him safe until we are done. Susan, no, you can't. Julian made no move to take control of the butterscotch tabby, but he wasn't needed. The giant rats who guided Susan, pouncing on her friend and pinning him down. Red rat light surrounded him, smothering the green magic of his fourth life. And while Susan could see just how bright that light was, knew how powerful he had to be, there were just too many of them, and only one Tucker. It'll be okay, she called out to him, holding her hands in tight little fists at her sides, wincing as she listened to his voice cut off when he disappeared out of the cave. Her eyes met the king's. If anything happens to Tucker? Susan surprised herself with her own bravery. I promise you'll regret it. Julian growled low in the back of his throat at the threat, ending in a soft yowl, but the Rat King ignored him. And if you try to betray us, he said, his speech back under control, so will you. Of course she was going to betray him the first chance she got, but Susan nodded anyway. Tell me what you need me to do. Tucker's struggles only tightened the hold the rat's magic had over him until he could no longer speak from the smothering squeeze of their combined power. That didn't stop him from fighting, thrashing, and biting, but the rats stayed just out of reach, racing through the tunnels with him on their backs. He lost track of the twists and turns in the red-lit darkness, dumped before he could get his bearings into a dark hole to the squealing of his enemies. Tucker felt their magic release as he hit the floor very hard and rolled into a wall, the pain of the sharp stone making him cry out. He sprang to his feet the instant their power retreated and leaped for the opening, but too late. They'd already sealed it with more magic, Tucker running headfirst into the thin layer of red power that threw him back from it as though he'd been tossed. Filthy Cath, one of the rats snarled at him. Fight us and we'll see how many more lives you have left. More than enough to win against rats, Tucker snapped back. So brave. The rats parted, squealing when Julian slapped at a few too slow to get out of his way. Tucker wasn't surprised to find the traitor had followed. The big silver cat's face came so close to the red barrier between them that Tucker could see the pit of the scar where Julian's lost eye had been. He'd used magic to heal himself to be so far recovered this quickly, and it must have cost him a great deal to do so. But he didn't seem weakened by the decision, sadly. Too bad it's wasted. Your little human friend is betraying you even now. Cat City will be ours, Tucker. You failed. We'll see about that, Tucker shot back, though his heart had fallen to his paws, and he was sure Julian was right. If only the council had listened to him. We will indeed, the arrogant Bengal said as though he hadn't clearly paid the price for his previous betrayal. Now that I see you're comfortable in your new residence, if you'll excuse me, I have a city to return to. He spun slowly and walked away, tail high, while Tucker fumed, his green magic sparkling around him. I know I can break out, he thought, as one of those sparks landed on the barrier with a sizzling sound. But then what? There were so many rats on the other side, the watchers thinning out somewhat, but more than enough to take him down no matter how hard he fought. Tucker refused to fall into despair, but it was getting harder and harder not to ponder the worst. The first squeal of pain had him tensing. The rats, turning as one, distracted by the sound as another of their number, let out a horrible scream that was suddenly echoed by many. Tucker couldn't move, could barely breathe, as four rats flew through the air toward him, crashing into the barrier keeping him in the little cave, their fat bodies crushing the magic and setting Tucker free. The rest ran as a huge furry shape appeared, glowing with third life blue magic. One giant paw swiping through the retreating enemies with casual disdain. Are you coming or not? Vinny paused, full tail straight up in the air, massive mane shimmering with light, as Tucker let out a hooting laugh and raced to his friend. But when he tried to headbutt the Maine Coon in thanks, the guard captain said in a tense voice, No time for that, he said, looking Tucker up and down. You're green, he whispered sadly. I'm fine, Tucker replied. I promise. Vinny just nodded. Where's Susan? Tucker looked around eagerly, expecting an army, only to freeze and then stumble as he realized the truth. You're alone, he said in a small voice. Managed to free you, didn't I? Vinny huffed a little, pushing his friend with his nose. We really need to go, he said. When the rats figure out it's just me, they'll come back with friends, and while we're both impressive, I don't think the two of us are a match for the whole rat army, do you? Tucker dashed his horror aside and squared his shoulders. Thanks, Vinny, he said. They're going to make Susan break them into the city. The Maine Coon spun as he spoke. Let's go make sure that never happens, shall we? Together, the two friends raced into the dark tunnels. And that is the end of this part. Good night. Sleep tight.